of Spingola Speaks. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org. And a question from the chat room. Did NS Germany allow homeschooling, or was it necessary?
I saw that question. That is a great question. And the answer is yes. There was three forms of education in NS Germany. One, there were parents that homeschooled their children. It wasn't as broad as we see in the United States. For the record, my wife and I homeschool our children, and we use a Christian curriculum because the curriculum, it's the same curriculum that was used in the Christian school that I attended, and they made it available for homeschoolers. It's an outstanding curriculum. And so they did. And they also, there was the German, you know, what we would refer to as the German public schools. But also, on January the 30th, 1939, Hitler's speech before the Reichstag, he also guaranteed and said there would be the German government would protect the right of what we would call the Lutheran and Catholic schools as well. So there was the three methods of education. And in fact, the National Socialists, the funds that went directly from the government, the state, to the churches dramatically increased under the National Socialist government. In fact, I think I may have read those amounts on a prior show, Deanna. But
didn't they also build 2,500 new churches during the NSD?
Yeah, between churches and what we would refer to as fellowship halls, and I can't recall the exact name of them, but actual church, and let's talk about that real brief before we get back into the book burning, because I want to talk about one of the criteria of book burning, Deanna, they used was books that were anti-Christian. That was one of the criteria of the German Student League they used, the books that were overtly attacking Christianity. And I'll talk about the criteria of that. But there is this, and I cannot stress this enough, that, you know, and this is one of Roosevelt's big lies. Roosevelt went on radio and lied to the American people and said that Adolf Hitler was essentially an occultist and wanted to had replaced all of the crucifixes in German schools with a swastika and was replacing Christianity with Nazism and all that. All of that was a lie. You know, there was a case in which a Gauleiter in Western Germany did at one point want the schools to put swastikas up just replace the crucifix and take them down. And Hitler overruled, one of the rare occasions where Hitler actually stepped in and overruled a Gauleiter and ordered those crucifixes to be put back up in the schools. Hitler, there was a direct statement by Hitler where Hitler had said that the Christianity was the moral foundation of Western civilization. Christianity thrived under National Socialism. You know, keep in mind there was, what was engraved on every Wehrmacht troop's belt buckle, Gott mit uns. This is just nonsense. And the Americans bought into Roosevelt's lie and into these transcripts, you know, these memorandums from the Army intelligence. That was one of the, these American intelligence officers were talking about. You know, the president is lying. You know, the church is thriving in Germany. This was a dispatch between the Paris military attaché and the Berlin attaché in 1938, talking about how the church was thriving more so in Germany than it was in France. But finish up about, you know, I was asked, you know, and I always tell people exactly what my position is, and they can, you know, let the chips fall. Said my worldview is National Socialist for a whole lot of reasons, my family history and such. And I've always said that the most successful form of what you would consider, call it white nationalism or not, of nationalism is National Socialism for a whole lot of reasons, Deanna. It worked.
Right.
It worked.
All righty. We do have a break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. The website is wvfoundations.org. And so Kitty Worthman, that Austrian who was, I think she was, what, eight or something in 1937, who mm-hmm. has been going around to a bunch of schools and other places talking about how Hitler took down all the crucifixes and how he put his picture up in all the schoolrooms. You mean
I had a run-in with her. At a group. In fact, I spoke at a patriot group last night, Deanna, and a couple of the people there remembered my run-in with her, and they had. And I shouldn't say a run-in. It was a what we would call an impromptu debate. She came to a local high school here. And mm-hmm. I made an appearance, and I challenged her on the facts, and it was very uncomfortable for her because she was just incorrect. And her response was, "Well, you know, young man, you weren't there. I was." And I said, "You're right." I said, "But my grandmother was there, and you know, she told me the stories, and you know." And I started naming where there's crucifixes, and I offered to show her photographs of crucifixes in German school buildings, and it just didn't go over well. And some of the, you know, students came up to me afterward and asked for, you know, stuff, you know, asked for pay, you know, photographs and stuff to their credit. And this is where I talk about where I am actually optimistic about young people. But anyway, a couple of the members of this patriot group that I actually went and spoke at about immigration last night mentioned that, you know, that they had drank the Kool-Aid until they heard me speak. And they said, you know, they don't necessarily agree with all of my views, but, you know, they certainly are willing to listen because I proved that lady wrong on the facts, that she is just basically, selling wares. That was their use of verbiage. They said that she was just basically selling wares, just like Hitler took all the guns. That was another one she said that night. Every time she speaks, Deanna, she inserts some more of the what I would call, Zionist propaganda. You know, by the way, not only did he take the crucifixes down, he took all the guns, too.
Sure. All right. So, well, I'm glad to clarify that.
Yeah, you know, get back to the topic on the book burning. The German Student Association, you know, as I said, they were chapters, and so they issued the 12 theses against un-German spirit. And their premise was that they had been subjected to this attempted brainwashing by, quote, Jewish intellectuals, end quote. And I'm kind of curious as to what a Jewish intellectual is, because essentially, in my mind, a Jewish intellectual is a Marxist who basically, writes these, Marxist books promoting multiculturalism, decadence, and such. And then they have their Jewish associates in the media promotes them as great works of art that people have to read and have to be promoted. In the meantime, they start taking the pro-nationalist, in this case Germany, the pro-German books out of circulation, and they replace them. And this is what was happening during Weimar. I would ask your listeners to go to your local libraries and look at the content of the books, and you will see what is happening in the United States is what happened during Weimar. If you look at the content of the libraries in Germany in the Wilhelm era, before Weimar, say before 1919, 1920, I would submit to you that the contents of the, particularly in the universities, was fundamentally different. So anyway, they issued these treatises. Number one was language and literature have their roots in the Volk. It is the German Volk's responsibility to assure that its language and literature are the pure and unadulterated expression of its Vulcan traditions. Now, that particular first one, Deanna, I have heard statements being made by Native American groups who have talked about this in terms of language preservation. There is a big debate in Native American communities about the fact that their language a vast majority of the respective tribes don't even know their language anymore. And so I have actually heard very similar statements being made with regard to language preservation right here in the United States with regard to Native American tribes. Number two, at present, there is a chasm between literature and the German tradition. This situation is a disgrace. Three, purity of language and literature is your responsibility. Your Volkishness has entrusted you with faithfully in preserving your language. Four, our most dangerous enemy is the Jew and those who are his slaves. Number five, a Jew who can only think Jewish if he writes in German, he is lying. The German who writes in German but thinks in German is a traitor. There he's talking about the useful idiots, as Marx described. We've talked about them before. The student who speaks and writes in German is, in addition, thoughtless and has abandoned his or her duties. Six, we wish to eradicate lies. We want to denounce treason. We want for us students institutions of discipline and political education, not mindlessness. Number seven, we want to regard the Jew as alien. We want to respect the traditions of the Volk. Therefore, we demand of the censor Jewish writings are to be published in Hebrew. If they appear in German, they must be identified as translations. Strongest actions against the abuse of German script. German script is only available to Germans. The un-German spirit is to be eradicated from the public libraries. Eight, we demand of the German students the desire and capability for independent knowledge and decisions. Number nine, we demand of German students the desire and capability to maintain the purity of the German language. Number 10, we demand of German students the desire and capability to overcome Jewish intellectualism and imperialism and the resulting liberal decay in the German spirit. Number 11, we demand the selection of students and professors in accordance with their reliability and commitment to the German spirit. Number 12, we demand that the German universities be a stronghold of the German Volk tradition and a battleground reflecting the power of the German mind. Now, you know, there's nothing in there about hate. There's nothing in there talking about prohibiting the personal ownership of those books. And let me stop right there. What they did was they actually asked that the Jewish books be published in Hebrew, the German books be published in Hebrew. If you look at what they're saying, nothing. They're basically asking for a return to German cultural traditions. They're asking for cultural preservation. And if you look at what the books actually they targeted, and we'll talk about those, this was tremendous pushback by German students. They basically were going to their universities, and they were basically saying, we are not going to be indoctrinated. They basically said they would not drink the Kool-Aid. Now, I wish our students, and we're seeing some of that. We do see students today, Deanna, not as much as we should, say, we will not drink that Kool-Aid. Isn't it something that are, you know, I've seen textbooks. I remember textbooks were expensive when I went to university. And some of them were absolutely outrageous. And these professors tell the students, you have to, you know, purchase this textbook and this textbook and this is required reading for this course. And that's what these German students were required to do. And they were required to purchase and read read textbooks that were essentially intellectual and cultural poison. And this was their pushback on it. And let's talk about that real quick, because I want to go over, we got about 45 minutes left. And I think it's interesting to compare and contrast what the German book burning, you know, the student book burning protest, and compare that with what the Allies did post-war. And then I want to highlight, you know, at least one of the authors whose books was burned, and the German media highlighted him recently, and that was Erich Kästner. He was a Jew. And they tried to portray him as a just a simple writer of children's books. And that is correct, Deanna. He did write children's books. But more often than not, these Jewish writers, Deanna, wrote a children's book concurrently while they were writing nothing other than smut. And you may be aware, you may not be aware, I'm sure some of your listeners are aware of the book Fabian. Kästner wrote that book Fabian, in which he highlighted and promoted, and this was a famous book during Weimar, and he went in and graphically promoted and described what we would call one-night stands. It was described as quick sex, casual sex, homosexuality and lesbian as something that was should be the social norm. That is what Kästner promoted in Fabian. Well, that book was burned in protest on May 10th, 1933, by the German Student Association. He then, in his children's books, are you familiar, Deanna, with the recent trends in children's books, particularly in California, My Two Mommies or My Two Dads?
Is that the worst possible stuff? And, of course, they're starting with children, because then they can... And I think that they use that example in Germany to then come over here and get all these, like Dr. Spock and some of these people... to start with the children when they're very, very young and indoctrinate them even earlier.
Well, I think now you're getting the point as to why Kästner's books was targeted by the German Students Association. Kästner, basically building off of, you see what he was promoting in Fabian. And if those of you that haven't read Fabian, look it up. This is what he was promoting. He then transitioned over to children's books. Now, he did write one that was quasi-decent. But then he started promoting this liberal, decadent, homosexual type agenda in children's books. And, you know, that just did not go very well with, you know, Germans at all. Now, not, you know, it just didn't go very well. I mean, you have this pushback first in the early 20s by the German artisans who saw what was happening under Weimar, and they pushed back. And then I wanted to go back and correct myself. 1932 was the German national elections, where the NSDAP got about 41.2% of the national vote overall. And the student election 1931, I just found my notes, the students voted 1931, a year before the major election victory of the NSDAP, voted 44.4% for National Socialist Students.
All righty, we are going to break. We'll be right back.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over?
Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing LifeStraw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. And let's clarify something here, Rodney. Homosexuality. There are a lot of people who endorse that lifestyle. I have had friends who are homosexual. They were very good friends. And I figured, okay, that's their choice. And sometimes it is, it isn't a choice. Sometimes it's, circumstances beyond their control. So is this a blanket criticism of all homosexuals, or what are you saying here? I have to play the devil's advocate.
And you do it very well. My concern is, as a compliment, my concern with homosexuality is the use of it. And I have an article on my website about the homosexual agenda is the Jewish agenda. And I'll use California as an example. They, they really thought they were going to win the Prop 8 battle. And Californians, you know, interestingly, voted, and I'll use an example, to amend the Constitution to prohibit homosexual marriage, which I wholeheartedly, support traditional marriage. I do not believe that thousands of years of tradition should be modified because of Marxist agenda, and which is further an attempt to destroy what I consider Western Christian civilization. But let me go a step further. The homosexual agenda, which is homosexual adoptions, homosexual marriage, the teaching of it in schools, has been used as part of the Jewish attack on what we would call Western Christian civilization. When I use the word Christian in that term, I mean cultural Christianity. I don't mean churchism. I don't mean, and particularly I am fundamentally against these Christian Zionists that try to basically allow Jews to rewrite Christianity. My main problem with homosexuality is one, and I have to be perfectly honest in disclosure, is one of my faith, one, but two, the cultural aspects and the agenda that they have embarked upon, which I find to be absolutely incompatible with, one, the laws of nature, and two, our culture. Now, does that mean Rodney Martin is going around saying that as Lincoln, George Lincoln Rockwell said, gas all the homosexuals? Absolutely not. I mean, there is a civil standpoint, but I do not endorse, the homosexual agenda. I'm absolutely opposed to it. California is a prime example where they mandate that homosexuality, the achievements of homosexuals, be taught in schools. They are now mandating that birth certificates, they've altered the parental status on birth certificates. It is absolutely horrendous what the homosexual agenda is doing culturally. It is basically scrambling our culture, and that concerns me greatly. I also think that in terms of
procreation, it certainly
procreation is a big one. And let me put it bluntly, and I'll take my wife is actually strong, has a much stronger position on it. We white people, European people, we're in a desperate situation. We're about 7.5% of the world population, and women of childbearing ages are about 3% of the population. And I've always told young white men that, one, they should not pay heed to some of these so-called white nationalist leaders that say they need to go out and do horrific things that wind them up in jail. That's absolutely counterproductive. They cannot serve their people in jail. What they need to do is to go out and find a very nice white lady, treat her with respect, and have lots of white children. That's rule number one. That's what the first thing they need to do. We need to start procreating, because we certainly see that with Hispanics and black people. The rates of procreation there are phenomenal. And it probably hasn't been, and that's been encouraged by Jewish welfare policies, much to the detriment of Hispanic and black females. Hispanic and black females have been devastated by these Jewish Marxist policies. And that's a message that I don't think that we've articulated as well, is that these Jewish Marxist policies have been devastating to the nuclear family, both white, brown, and black.
Exactly. Excuse me. Speaking of phone calls, we do have somebody on the line here.
Sure. And then we'll get back on, because there's another document that was published by the German Students League that talked about the general principles which they adopted to guide the process by which the books would be burned, which was interesting.
Okay. You have about a minute. Do you want to take the phone call now?
Let's take the phone call. Sure.
All right. Colin in Minnesota.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. I kind of qualify myself here a little bit. I'm a second-generation American immigrant of Black Sea Volga Germans who the communists put in concentration camps. Fortunately, ancestors came here before that happened. But I take exception that Rodney seems to make National Socialism appear to be liberal, and that's in the sense of the old sense of the word.
Colin, we are going to a break. Stay over the break, and we'll get you back on after we come back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to SantaBarbaraBells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And Colin, go ahead and state your question or comment.
Yeah, I'd like to challenge again the idea of national socialism, even though it is appearing by Rodney's examples to be liberal, again, in the traditional sense of the word. But whether it be guilds, unions, or corporations working with the power of the state to eliminate or limit through coercion, open market competition, isn't that a violation of natural law, liberty, and free will for status positive law? And I was wondering what his thoughts were on that.
With regard to, you sound libertarian. You sound libertarian. Sounds like you're taking
like the founding fathers, yes.
Okay, well, first of all, if you're wanting, I'm not a libertarian. In fact, I think libertarian is a bankrupt and a decadent point of view. So I'm not going to – I think if, it, if you stand National Socialism up to libertarianism, I'll take National Socialism any day of the week. So,
you're for state and be it unions or corporations, depending upon if you're Democrat or Republican.
Well, I don't even go for the Democrats, the Republicans, or the libertarians. The libertarians
Let Rodney answer the question.
I'm sorry.
The libertarians want open borders. The libertarians want free trade. The libertarians are even soft on kiddie porn, for Pete's sake. So, I mean, I'm not understanding anybody can justify the libertarian position.
Yeah, I think you misrepresented it there a bit. But
I can pull up the platform in their positions right now.
The kitty porn stuff, again, just because one person represents himself. So I'm thinking about Mussolini, where he basically said, you know...
Well, that's a fascist. There's a difference between fascism and national socialism. Let's not commingle Mussolini with national socialism.
Make that clarification for me, then. I didn't realize that.
Well, tell me with regard to what? With regard to the economy?
With regard to free open markets.
Well, in national socialism, you had a market economy. In fact, people got rich. Corporate profits were soaring in national socialist Germany. There actually was a tax policy in national socialist Germany. National socialist Germany actually reduced taxes, corporate taxes, from what they were under Weimar, and actually reduced unemployment. Cut it in half in the first year of their administration. So I'm not understanding. It seems to me you've drank the Kool-Aid that the national socialism was socialism of the left. And I did a show with Deanna on that a few weeks ago.
And Colin, you also mentioned unions, which national socialism did away with.
That's right. The national socialists actually did away with the unions and seized their fat cat bank accounts and created the German labor front that benefited the actual workers. So I think to confuse, first of all, one, some of the jargon that goes around on Glenn Beck, or Alex Jones or the TV, the VoopTube with actual what really happened is, I think that's a misnomer. And I also think to confuse, what Mussolini did. In fact, Mussolini's economy never thrived anywhere near close to what the National Socialist economy did. I think that's a misnomer as well. Did the National Socialists intervene in the economy? Yes, they did when the war came. Yes, they did. There's just no doubt about it. No different than what Roosevelt did. Roosevelt actually intervened. He seized factories. Ask Walt Disney about that. He complained, about that as well. But I think you have some misconceptions about what National Socialism did economically, because they actually did have corporate tax. In their 1928 economic plan, they called for a reduction of corporate taxes so as to create full employment.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what they're doing in our economy now. It just isn't working out that way, so it's obviously not quite the same thing. You're saying it's different? Because corporations are doing, look at the stock market and the profits, they're doing well, but the workers aren't doing very well.
Well, the workers in National Socialist Germany did very, very well. There was actually unemployment had been eradicated within about 36 months, where the United States and the rest of the countries were still struggling. They actually had to, dupe the country into war to get out of the economic, quagmire. And the reason why is the National Socialists were opposed to usury. They were opposed to, international Jewish banks. They created a self-sufficient economy, where the United States, used to have a self-sufficient economy, but they gave that away.
Yeah. I was wondering, what's your opinion on Anglo-Saxon pre-Christian concepts of natural law?
We seem to be getting far afield here.
Write me about that on my email, and I'll send you some early articles I wrote on that.
Okay. Excellent.
Or go to the archives section on my website, and there's two articles on that as well.
Oh, okay, great. I'll do that.
Okay, thanks, Colin, for your phone call. Interesting. All righty. Back to book burning.
Yeah, the Student League also, in addition to the initial draft, the declaration that they first published, they actually adopted general principles for what you would call the guidance for what you would call the protest, the book burning. And here was their standards. And what ultimately ended up, Deanna, there was only 136 titles or authors whose books were burned. They were all, 90% of them were foreign and Jewish. Bear in mind, Jewish was considered foreign. Within that mix was French, and a large number were Soviet. We've talked about this before on your prior show, that Weimar was really, really importing a lot of cinema and literature from the Soviet Union for a lot of reasons. But here was their general principles. The standards for the compilation of the blacklist, and that was the list which they would include the author's name, are the literary and political nature. The fundamental question necessary for any political decision applies here too. Who is the real enemy against whom we direct our fight? Our fight is against the undermining, this is number two, is against the undermining of our inherent way of thinking and living. It is against the, quote, asphalt literature, which is, go to page two here of my notes, against the predominantly written for the urban resident in order to conform and strengthen his detachment from his environment, from his folk, from his community, and which uproots him completely. This is the literature of intellectual ninnyism. This is where, you know, they were targeting these books at basically undermining the separated the person from his culture and from his folk. Well, there's a lot of that in the United States. So I posted in the chat room, anybody up for burning some books? Number three, the type of literature has predominantly, although not exclusively, Jewish authors. However, not every Jewish author is an asphalt writer. For example, the criticism of the assimilated Jew by the Zionist Ben-Gurion, boy, that is a name, the earliest 1933, represents principles of a Jewish folk. Not every Russian author is a cultural Bolshevik. Dostoevsky and Leon Trotsky do not belong on the index. New acquisitions of Russian authors are not necessarily, just as it is not necessary to destroy all new Russian books. And they name some Russian authors in there as well. As a rule, it is recommended to retain a copy, even of the most dangerous books in the poison cabinets of the large city and university libraries, pending the coming altercation with the asphalt literary and Marxists. Technically, the cleansing should be done in stages. New acquisitions should be depended upon to fill the resulting gaps with German literature. Number seven, books that are blocked from checkout can practically be divided into three groups. Group one is to be destroyed. Group two goes into the poison cabinet. Group three contains dubious cases requiring future assessments as to whether as to which group they belong to. And number eight, more important, that the cleansing is the buildup of holdings in accordance with the New Germany. And then number nine, the building of nationalist and socialist holdings does definitely not include the patriotic kitsch. Blacklists are being compiled of such works. And then it gives some examples. And then I said, a list came up of the actual works that they had put on the for the book burning protest. It was 136. Now you go to the Hitler Channel and some of the other agenda driven historians. They made it sound like they were burning thousands and thousands of authors. You look at
it was the Allies that did that.
Right, yeah, and I'm going to cover that in the last few minutes of the show. And here's the final guidelines document that they finally published a week before the show, book burning. The works of traitors, immigrants, and authors from foreign countries who believe they can attack and denigrate Germany. The literature of Marxism, communism, and Bolshevism. Pacifist literature. Literature with liberal democratic tendencies and attitudes and writing supporting the Weimar Republic. And they named specifically Rathenau. We all knew, we talked about Rathenau in a prior show.
Exactly.
All historical writings whose purpose is to denigrate the origin and spirit and culture of the German people, or to dissolve the racial and structural order of the people, or denies the force and importance of leading historical figures in favor of egalitarianism and the masses, and which seeks to drag them through the mud. Now, that's an important criteria, because what have we seen in the United States, Deanna? We have seen, you know, important historical figure, American historical figures relegated to, you know, they've been completely revised to where they've been made villains. And now we hold up Che Guevara in American history classes and public schools as heroes. I mean, it's incredible. Writings of philosophical and social nature whose content deals with a false scientific enlightenment of primitive Darwinism and monism. Books that advocate art which is decadent, bloodless, or purely constructivist. Writings on sexuality and sexual education which serve the egocentric pleasure of the individual and thus completely destroy the principles of race and folk. Translation, that's homosexuality, like the Caston, who we just talked about, in Fabian, Deanna. The decadent and destructive and Volk-damaging writings of asphalt and civilization literary. Literature by Jewish authors, regardless of the field. Popular entertainment literature that depicts life and life's goals in a superficial or unrealistic and sickly sweet manner based on a bourgeois or upper-class view of life. So that was their criteria. And if you go, if you look at that, and you look at it, read it through the Times, that you looked at as what was going on in Weimar, what had happened in Weimar, looked at it in, you know, 1933. Bear in mind, there had just been a shift. And what's interesting, look at this date. This happened. This happened on May 10th, 1933. The National Socialists were still a coalition government in Weimar. President Hindenburg was still the president, which was a strong president. He did not die, and his health had not fully declined until about June, July of 1934. So essentially, this was still the end, basically the tail end of Weimar. Hitler was still just the chancellor. He wasn't the president. He had not transitioned to Führer and Reichschancellor yet. This was done by students who had finally had said enough is enough, and they pushed back. A final comment I wanted to make is they said, oh, they were there, the SA was there enforcing this, there was SA uniforms. The National Socialist, the Students' League, had a uniform that was very similar to SA uniforms. So it would have been those uniforms that were there, they were wearing uniforms that were very similar to SA uniform. But the SA that weren't there as, quote, goons, burning books. They didn't, again, I want to make sure it's well known, they weren't there ravaging the libraries, just grabbing, you know, every book. You can see that it was a methodical process, that these students had gone through, you know, years of this cultural poison imposed upon them by the cultural Marxist of Weimar, and this was their opportunity. They decided to put together a very well-planned and thought-out protest to burn these books. And it's important to note that private ownership of these books was not illegal under National Socialist. An individual owning these books was not prosecuted. In fact, Kastner, who we talked about, stayed during the Third Reich period and was never put in a concentration camp. Now, his works were not put in libraries or sold because of the nature, the decadent nature of his books. He ended up doing, you know, publishing some technical journals under a pseudonym. So he earned a living because he was a Michelin, by the way. He was a half-Jew, but he remained in Germany during the Third Reich period, and then he complained, you know, viciously about it, after the war, talked about how he couldn't publish what he really wanted to publish, which was smut. We have about 10 minutes left. Now, let's compare that. I think we've established that, you know, what the actual Nazi book burning was. Let's talk about what the Allies did after the war. The Allies burned books, Deanna, and they burned a lot more books. The number of books burned during the protest in May of 1933 was about 20,000, according to the reports and according to the media. And what was interesting is this is where one of the early terms of the Holocaust came out. Newsweek magazine, the United States Newsweek magazine, covered the, quote, book burning, and they declared it a Holocaust of books. in their June issue of Newsweek, they declared it a Holocaust of books. I got a JPEG of their story, and they called it the Holocaust of books. They also called it a cultural catastrophe. Well, was it a cultural catastrophe? The Germans basically retaking their culture, or were they purging non-German culture? Because what they were doing was they were essentially burning Jewish books, Soviet books, French books. I mean, it's incredible how this has been twisted to say that the Germans were, quote, engaging in a cultural catastrophe, getting rid of their own culture. They were not. They were purging cultural poison, Soviet books, Jewish books, smut, softcore porn, from their from their books that had been pushed upon them as some sort of new culture, and they pushed back on it. But getting back to the Allies after the war, let's talk about what the Allies did. The Allies under their famous Allied Control Council order JCS 1067, they took control of about 40 German newspapers, 8 radio stations, 320 theaters. And when I say theaters, Deanna, that talks about the live theaters, like you would go see a live Shakespeare play in. 650.
We'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the 5-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
All righty, welcome back. Our guest today has been Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is WVFoundations.org. Okay, continue.
Let me finish up. I know time is short, Dan, but this is important. The Allies, in addition to the radio stations and the live theaters, they took control of 650 what we would call movie theaters, called cinema, 105 magazines, about 250 book publishers, and 7,500 book dealers and printers. They also confiscated every school textbook, as well as an additional 50,000 book titles throughout the German Reich, which were all banned and destroyed, either by burning or turned to pulp. The Allied Commissioner for Germany made the statement, quote, that this was basically no different than the, quote, NSDAP. He referred to the NSDAP book destruction in 1933, which is factually incorrect, because the NSDAP didn't destroy any books. It was the Student League. Also, under the Allied Order of JCS 1067, which was valid until early 1948, they also confiscated literature, magazines, and handbills, and it was against the law, private ownership of these materials, which means if a German had these in their home, and I have some of these original German my dog's trying to make an appearance. I'm sorry. She's across the yard and the dog runs. She's still screaming to get on the air. She's making a comment. Probably she's anti-libertarian. But anyway, private ownership, Deanna, of these textbooks. And I have some of the older German 1938 school textbooks that were used both at the universities, and I also have some Wehrmacht textbooks that were used, and some textbooks that were used in German schools. Those were deemed illegal, and ownership, private ownership, if the Allied Control Council or Allied Occupation Authorities found you in possession of those, you would be arrested by the Allied Control Council. They also shut down publications that were immediately started in the post-war years in 1945. One of them was famously called The Call, Der Ruf, and that was a newspaper, an independent periodical. And the reason why that newspaper was shut down was because they published one editorial that criticized the excessiveness of Allied Control Policy Council for censorship, for basically burning books and periodicals. They also published an article where they exposed the fact that the Allied Control Council was charging the German people for the costs of burning and confiscating all of these periodicals, books, and school books, and for the destruction of these books. And they also were charging the German people for the cost, and let me look back in my notes here, for the cost of 30,000 bras for Allied nurses and female soldiers that were assigned to the Allied Occupation Authority. They made the German people pay for those as well. And this editorial exposed that, because somehow this writer for this The Call got a hold of this bill that was presented to the post-war, what was left of the post-war German government. I'm talking about what would be the Adenauer government. And that newspaper was shut down as well.
Amazing.
So who burned more books? The Allies burned everything. The German Student League, it was a very limited protest to preserve their culture. That was the truth about book burning.
Well, thank you so much for educating us today again. And we will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Deanna.
Thank you. All righty, bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you on Monday.